him in the chest. The coach just looked at him frustrated and said, hit the showers, you're never going to amount to anything. I suspect that all of us at one time or another have felt as Ken did on that day. We failed in doing something as simple as catching a ball. And everyone around us is pointing fingers and they're laughing and they're looking down on us. And we walk away just simply feeling like a failure. And as we stop and as we think about that, maybe it just, it festers inside of us and the feeling gets worse and worse and worse over time. And I guess my question in this, as I've looked at failure, is what do I do about it? Where do I go? How do I react when I fail to do something simple and even some, maybe even something that's rather complex? How do I react to it? What do I do? Where do I go for help in that situation? And I think as always, we know that God desires for us to go to Him and to His Word. And so this morning, I want us to take a look at a man by the name of John Mark. We know relatively little about John Mark. He's not spoken of a lot in the Scriptures, but we know he authored the Gospel according to Mark. His Jewish name is John. His Greek surname is Mark, and we see that from Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Most likely, he was born and raised in Jerusalem. A good, solid background. His mother's name was Mary, we see from Acts chapter 12, verse 12, and it seems possible that she may have been a pretty wealthy woman. At the very least, she was well known by the church because in Acts chapter 12, the church is meeting in her house. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, we find that he's related to Barnabas, possibly, if not probably, a cousin of some sort. But one thing I want to, the things I want us to look at this morning is that in Mark's life, Mark had a, what we'll call the Markan experience. Four stages or four periods of his life that I think would help us in dealing with failure in our own lives. And we're going to note the fact that number one, Mark stumbled. And after the stumble, he had a period in which he struggled with his failure. But I also think we're going to find that moving on from there, there was a period where he was striving for excellence. And then finally, we'll see that Mark truly succeeded in his life. Start with the fact that Mark stumbled. As a young teenage boy, Mark was recruited by Paul and Barnabas, the dynamic duo of mission work of the day. And he headed out with them on, I want to say it was their first journey, their first mission journey, may have been their second. But we read earlier, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. I don't know why he left. The Scriptures don't really tell us. However, there's a lot of speculation as to why he left. Maybe the fact, I mean, if he is a young teenage boy, when you jump on a ship and you take off to what to you is certainly a foreign land, you might get a little homesick after a while. You miss your mom. And you miss your surroundings that you have become comfortable with. So I don't know. For one reason or another, he returned to Jerusalem. And we're going to find that a little bit later on in his life, this decision came back to haunt him. The fact that he decided not to continue with Paul and Barnabas. It was a failure on Mark's part. And you know, when I look at my life and as I see Mark's failure and as I think about the potential reasons for it, I can't help but wonder, what are some of the reasons for my own stumbling? Why do I fail from time to time? And these are just a few. Maybe I have a lot of fear built up inside of me. I see the task that's laid out before me. I see the situation that God has presented, and I'm just simply terrified of it. I can't quite get the find the guts and the gumption to get out there and do it, and so therefore I fail. Maybe I have a lack of knowledge. I see the task that's there, but I don't know all the facts. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of these guys that sometimes I have a hard time just kind of leaping out there. I want to know as much about it as I possibly can before I take that step. And so if I have a lack of knowledge, sometimes I fail. Maybe a lack of enthusiasm. I know a lot of people who just seem to not be able to find the motivation to do anything. And so when you put a task in front of them, a job to do, if they lack enthusiasm or motivation to do it, many times they fail. Or maybe we have a lack of understanding. I see the facts, but I can't quite put them all together. Or maybe sometimes we just simply have outside forces. People and pressures that are just pushing constantly upon us to do something, or maybe to not do something. And the result being that I fail in what I try to undertake. But whatever it is, I think we can find lessons to learn, not only in our own stumbling, but in Mark's stumbling as well. You see, stumbling is a part of life. We're all going to do it from time to time. You know, a baby cannot learn to stand or balance or walk without falling himself. And it's the same with our spiritual lives. We are going to make mistakes in our spiritual lives. But as we start our Christian lives as babes, as infants in Christ, the way we learn from time to time is by making those mistakes and rebounding from them. And the true question comes after the fall. When you fail, when you make a mistake, when you trip up, what are you going to do about it? I think for Mark, our second step that we see is that he struggled. We read in Acts 15, verse 37 through 39. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And the contention became so great, so sharp, that they departed from one another. Somewhere between Acts chapters 13 and 15, Mark did some soul searching. He had a struggle of some sort, the conflicting thoughts that went through his mind. And I don't know exactly what went through his head. But I think the fact that we see him two chapters later deciding that he wants to go back out onto the mission field with Paul and Barnabas, that somewhere that he had a battle between, okay, maybe I shouldn't have left them. And I really want to go back out there with them because I know that's what I need to do. I know that's what I want to do. That's what God wants me to do. But what did he have go through his mind? I don't know. I don't know exactly what thoughts churned inside of John Mark's head, but maybe he echoed the words of the psalmist. I'm weary with my groanings. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of my enemies. Have you ever struggled so badly with the decision that you made or a lack of a decision that you made that you just didn't know what else to do? I know for me, when I've struggled from time to time, some of the questions that go through my head, how did I get here? Things were going along wonderfully, very smoothly, and then all of a sudden I have my feet knocked out from underneath me. Where did I go wrong? What could I have done differently? And if we sit in our struggle long enough, we might even find ourselves asking, is there any hope for me now? Can I rebound from this? You know, I think, unfortunately, there are too many of us who do sit in our struggle too long. And we don't try to get out of it because we spend more time grieving over the failure than we do trying to do something about the failure. But if we look to Mark's life, we're going to find that, thirdly, there was a striving for excellence in Mark's life. There's very little said about John Mark after Acts chapter 15. The scriptures indicate that he went with Barnabas while Paul went another direction. And we know Barnabas was a success in his mission work, but what about John? What about John Mark? Well, we see him pop up a couple of other times. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, we see that he is there with Peter at the time of the writing of that letter. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, we see that he has reunited with Paul. And in Philemon verse 24, we see that even once again, he is still in the company of Paul the apostle, making his journeys and helping, or at least giving some input into the situations of the people that he's writing to. Eusebius is an early church historian who quotes a man by the name of Papias. Papias was a bishop in Asia Minor until around AD 130. And Papias said this about John Mark. And the presbyter used to say this: Mark became Peter's interpreter and wrote accurately all that he remembered. You see, there's some indication that perhaps even Mark, in his journeys with Peter, became kind of the scribe for the apostle. As Peter would tell his stories about the life of Christ, maybe Mark was the one who sat back with pen and paper and he scratched them down, helping to preserve that history of the life of Christ. See, Mark truly made a strive for excellence. But how do we strive for excellence? How do I, when I fail and I've gone through the struggle, how do I emerge out of that struggle and that grief in order to do something that's worthwhile in my life? Well, I think certainly we need to open up God's Word. Because if I don't know what it is that God wants me to do in life, there's no way that I'm going to possibly succeed at it. But while I have the Word of God open and I'm studying from it and I'm learning more of God's will, I need to be talking with God. I need to be conversing with Him in prayer, letting Him know what my fears are, letting Him know about the struggles, verbalizing the things that are weighing heavy on my heart. But what a lot of us don't, you know, we say study and prayer and all that, but I think we have to take that even a step further. We have to sit down in our lives and we have to make a true, honest, objective reevaluation of our lives in light of the studying and the praying that we've done. If the Bible says one thing and my life doesn't match that, I need to do something about it. And I need to make the recognition in my mind that that has got to change. But another mistake we make a lot of times is that we try to go it alone. I open up the Word and I study it and I pray and maybe I've even said to myself, I need to make this change in my life. But then we try to do that ourselves. And we bear that entire burden without anyone's help. Folks, sometimes we need to let go of our pride and our ego, and we need to seek the counsel of somebody whose wisdom surpasses ours. Because I guarantee that there is someone somewhere, most likely within the circle that you live in, who has had a similar, if not almost identical, struggle to the one that you're having. And I know in my life I have found that to take place time and time again. We've got to be seeking the counsel of God and seeking the counsel of our Christian brothers and sisters whose wisdom surpasses ours. And if we strive for excellence, I truly believe that we will be like Mark and that we will succeed. Whenever you mention the name Mark, in a biblical context, almost everybody you mention that name to will automatically think about the gospel according to Mark. And I dare say we would be foolish to deny that as being a success in his life. A lot of scholars think that this is perhaps the first actual written account of the life of Jesus. Written by a man who once decided, you know what? I'm tired, I'm ready to go home, I'm scared, whatever. And he left the mission field. He's the first one to write down the story of the life of Christ. And I think Mark was much like all the rest of us. He wanted to succeed. And he wanted recognition for his success. And I think that came to Mark later on in his life, because Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11 said, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." The very man who said, "This young boy is not fit to be on this trip. He's failed us before. If we bring him now, he's going to fail us again." Says at the end of his life, he says, "Remember that young boy? Please get him and bring him with you. He's a good worker. And God is doing great things through him. He's useful to me for ministry." I don't know where you stand in your walk. I don't know if you're stumbling or struggling or striving for excellence, but I can say this, that if we are like Mark, if we press on through the failures, we ourselves will have success when our life is over. And we will be like Paul at the end of our lives. And we can say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We're all going to go through the steps of the Markan experience. We're going to stumble. And once the stumble takes place, once we fall, we're going to struggle. But I ask you this morning, are you stuck in the struggle? Are you caught in a vicious cycle that you just can't seem to get out of? The first step is to surrender to God. Even if you say to yourself, "I can get out of this, I can do this, I can press on," if our lives are not surrendered to God, we won't come out of it. At least not to the fullest that we possibly could. If you've not started your walk with God, we have water ready. And you can begin your walk by putting him on in baptism, having your sins wiped away. But maybe you're stuck in the struggle. You are a Christian. Maybe you just kind of fallen down so hard that you haven't thought to look for help from the church. It's amazing how often that happens. We go to everyone else but our Christian family. But folks, it's one of the reasons we're here. It's to help each other through the struggles and help each other as we strive for excellence and to celebrate with one another as we succeed. If you have any need to respond to God's message today, there's no better time than the present to get your life right with God. And he asks you to do so right now while we stand and sing.